Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features a conversation between Pastor Jeff and myself, minister to youth and families here at Faith, talking about the sermon from March 28th, 2021. Welcome to the Faith Church podcast. My name is Christoph. With me today, Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Christoph, good to be with you, man.
Yeah, we're a little bit, we're kind of the B team here, filling in for Jay and Robbie this morning.
Well, I'm pumped. When I heard that you and I got to do this, I was like, man, Christoph and I have the best conversations, and they're not recorded. So now we get to have one that is recorded.
Yeah. It's funny. So you asked me about doing the podcast yesterday, and I was out on a walk, and I was thinking I had to ask, you know, being the good youth minister that I am, I had to give you a good would you rather question. So I've got it.
Okay.
I've got a would
Let's
you rather. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, would you rather? Jeff's a big fan of mountain biking. So, Jeff, would you rather for an entire summer get to go mountain biking every single day, but the pedals on the bike were pre-cooked turkeys? or you go on a hike every single day and the ground is sticky. You don't know with what.
Oh my goodness.
It's sticky. Which would you rather?
I would rather bike with turkeys on my feet.
Yeah, you know, they just like
yeah, the just, without hesitancy. I prefer I have a little tactile sensitivity, so I feel like the stickiness would get to me more than the loosey-goosey pedals.
Okay. I was just thinking of like the sap too. Like you just like imagine like just like stepping on like tree sap every single.
If that was what maple syrup, you know, like the sap harvesting was like, I wouldn't enjoy it. But
yeah, you
the
do
sap that,
right? That
comes out. Yeah, I do the sap that comes out of those maples. I haven't done a ton this year, but I've done a little bit, and it's, you know, more like a water consistency. It's not real sticky like you'd imagine. Maybe
but. Have you guys gotten to so you tap the maple trees and you get the syrup? Have you already eaten like? Have you gotten to eat it yet, or does it take time?
I haven't had any of the new batch. We do this with Jess's parents. So I haven't had any of the new stuff yet, but we, given that they do it and our kids have worked on it a lot this year, which has been awesome for them. I think Nora did 200 gallons of collecting this week and one of the afternoons, which is so cool.
But like 200 gallons. So
of sap.
Yeah. That's not the like actual syrup. How much does that make?
I think it's like I'm going to say a number here. This is a risk, right?
Of course.
So
yeah.
40, I think it's like 40 to one ish.
40 to
maybe
one?
Maybe a little more. Yeah.
That's so pretty good.
So yeah, I mean, it's funny how much it boils down. It's such a cool thing.
I foresee a lot of pancakes in your future.
We should, you know what I just thought of too? I was just thinking about the walk you took.
Yeah.
We should alert people to what they could see right now in Peshtigo if they want to.
Oh yeah. Cause we did that yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're the one that, so we
took this walk and we went over to the fish viewing platform right on the river by the bridge, right? And it was incredible, the walleye. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen so many walleye and so huge, right?
Yeah, it was so cool. You could look down in and it was like a looking glass of just seeing like all of these walleye down there. It was really cool. And of course, all of the people out there fishing, a lot of people fishing.
We did see, there was one man in particular who caught like three while we
Which
were standing
while we were there.
There.
Yeah,
he was really good.
Right,
and
yeah.
You could see the guys around him kind of thinking and looking like, what in the world? And
yeah, they
I
were
was wondering,
to
this guy must have had the right color or something, right?
He was doing something right. I don't know the first thing about walleye fishing in general. I don't know the first thing about it. But so maybe he had the right lure or the right kind of bait. Or
I think he did.
I
technique?
Technique? Knows? Yeah, it's all in the technique. It's all in how you
but
cast.
If you haven't seen this yet, I would recommend it. If you're near Peshtigo and you can get over there, it's worth it any time of the year. Like I've enjoyed that platform just to get out over the river and see the rapids there. But right now with these huge walleye coming through, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Highly recommend
it. It is. It's cool. I was really glad that we did that together as a staff, at least the staff who is in office.
The staff who's in the office.
The staff who is actually here. Yeah. So anyway, speaking of that, we can get into this week's discussion as we're heading into Easter week. But last Sunday, Robbie preached a sermon about solitude, right? So
yes.
We've been doing this. We've been doing this theme of. Can you explain kind of what the theme of the last couple of weeks have been?
Right. So throughout Lent, we've been doing spiritual practices, all practices that are like abstinent or abstinence-based ones where we stop doing something that we normally do that actually often is a very good thing. It's not like the thing we're stopping is bad, but we're stopping it for making room to connect with Jesus in some new and fresh ways. And I love the analogy Robbie gave it, and it's this in-breathing and out-breathing, this inhale and exhale, and these practices allow us to do that, to make room for the positive engagement with Christ.
Yeah, I love it. And this series has really challenged me, I think, because it's been, I feel like when you have Sunday morning sermons sometimes, you sometimes have the series that are very theological, doctrinal, you know, and listen, when it comes to Sunday morning worship, it's worship, right? It's worship of God. So anytime that we can think bigger about who God is and think bigger of what that means is great. But this has been really practical. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of like practicality to the sermons, from silence. That's kind of the one that stood out the most to me, but then also solitude. There's been a handful of them. I'm trying to think of what else.
Yeah, so we had fasting.
And yeah,
I did secrecy, which was unique. I had never
done a full
sermon on that. And you know, I really think that it is a very unique series because we're taking the teachings of Jesus and really early practices of the church and thinking through what would it look like for us here in Maranatha, Peshtigo, Menominee, right, in the surrounding area this year to practice that. And that's pretty unique, and I'm excited to see what God will do with it in the long term, because as we practice and engage Jesus in these ways, I think the potential for transformation in each of our hearts, like both individually but also together, is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Like the secrecy one's an interesting example. So that Matthew 6, Jesus gives those three examples of, you know, don't give to be seen, don't fast to be seen. And what was the other one, Christoph? I'm blanking at the moment. Don't give, don't fast, don't pray to be seen. So that's when he gives the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can read those and say, okay, I agree with that. Yes, I will not do that. But what we're trying to do is say, okay, yes, we agree with that. We want to do that, but how?
Mm-hmm.
How would we actually do that in our everyday life? And that's what this series is an attempt to do from, you know, a talk a week, basically. Like, how could we take that command of his and instruction and say, yes, I'll do that, and this is how.
And I think that it also, it requires you to evaluate what you're currently already doing. So, and that's kind of part of what you were saying with like the series, the idea of the series being Lent and taking something that we do and putting a pause on it or rethinking through it. One of the things that I love is that it's not just about adding something extra. It's about evaluating what you currently already do and going, does this actually match up to the person that I feel like God is calling me to be? And sometimes we don't do that. I've been thinking a lot about this. So tell me if this matches up or not. But it reminds me, I find myself oftentimes saying like the statement, I want to blank or I would love to do blank. And it's always, I don't know, it's always very in my mind, but I don't ever put practical like wheels on the ground with it sometimes. And then I have to ask myself the question. So what this has challenged me to do is to ask my question, well, do I really want that? Like, do I actually really want that? And if I don't, should I just kind of discard it as a want? Or if I go, man, so I hear about silence, secrecy. I hear that secrecy is a really important thing that I should be practicing. And I say that I want it, but maybe I'm not necessarily practicing it. That's when you then experience this transforming, right? This yes. Like there, I feel the cognitive dissonance that's kind of happening in my heart of this is what I want. This is who I want to be. This is who God is calling me to be. This is not who I am. And that's when you can begin the work of, okay, how do I then transform and change that?
Yes. It's the whole process.
Yeah.
It's even the like realizing, all right, I have this vision. Like, remember we've talked about VIM before, the V-I-M.
Yeah.
So there's a vision for these practices and for connecting with Jesus. And then there's this intention, the I, like I intend to do that. I really want to do that. But somehow getting from intention to the M, the means, that practical thing that you do can be really challenging. And I think, you know, we've already heard people saying, well, I intended to fast and then I didn't. And
right.
The whole process. It's not about perfectly practicing as if there was a perfect way of doing any of these things. There's not. It's engaging in them, you know, like your workouts, your morning workouts.
Right.
It's doing the thing, not doing it perfectly. It's just that the action that is what we're looking for. And there's something where God meets us in the middle of that action that transforms us.
Well, here's where I want to make my connection. Here, you ready for this? Ready for this?
Yes.
Awesome connection is that it does remind me of what Robbie specifically gave as a scripture for Romans 12:1-2, right? Is that, and I want to back up because I feel like I said, and that's where I make the transformation, but I know that's not the case. It's the Spirit that comes into our lives and makes that transformation. It's God who brings about that transformation. So I'll read this passage, Jeff, and then maybe we can kind of springboard off of this because it makes me think of that, right? Romans 12:1-2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And I just feel like that transformation, right? So, like, I feel like half the battle, you said vim. It's so interesting that you said that because, first of all, I wasn't even here the Sunday you preached that. I remember so clearly I was not here. I think I was covering for my brother in Appleton. I was preaching down in Appleton that weekend, and I came back and we had our gospel community. We have ours on Sunday nights and we talk about the sermon, and everyone was talking about vim and they were talking about the process. And I feel like part of that transformation has already happened when you're able to take those steps of visualizing and saying, like, here's the direction I want to go on, or recognizing where we're not doing it. And then it's the trust. Like, there's a part of it that is just trusting that, like what you just said, there's a trust that's required, that even when it doesn't feel like it's quote unquote working,
yes,
that God's going to use it, you know?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it makes you, to me, a good question to ask is, if I would say this is working, what do I mean? Like, what does working mean? Mm. And I'd be curious how you react to that. But I think for me, someone asked me that a few weeks ago, so I've been kind of chewing on it. And I think when I think of a practice as working, it does a couple things, but primarily it results in fruit. And
right.
It doesn't, you know, it could be the fruit of like suffering, actually. It could be the fruit of the struggle, even. There's fruit that comes from those things. But ultimately, it's like transformation. And we don't always know when that is happening.
Yeah. And, right? And oftentimes it's slow.
Yes.
I think sometimes we so quickly want the immediate responses in the moment. I want to see that transformation right away. And in some of the most incredible transformations happen slow and steady. And it's funny because I think sometimes we think of transformation and we only process it through the moment that we perceive it instead of recognizing all of the work that goes on behind it, right? And so I don't know, I've been leaning on this a lot, but for me, just because it's very relevant, is like I lost a significant amount of weight over the last year. And I think what's really interesting to me is a lot of people didn't notice it right away, which is fine. I didn't expect people to notice it. That wasn't the purpose behind doing it. But when people notice and they're like, "Oh man, you've lost a lot of weight," it was almost a year into the process. You know, it's like, yeah, I did. I lost, you know. but you don't notice that right away, and you don't notice every step of the way. You sometimes just have to trust the process and trust that when God says, you know, these things are good and right, and these things are what produce the healthy fruit, that it's not going to necessarily produce that fruit right away, but it will at some point.
Yes.
You know, I think one that comes to mind immediately as I'm thinking about this, or just even kind of riffing at it, is like joy, right? It's like people go, "Well, I feel like I've heard this one so many times. I read the Bible and I feel no joy afterwards. No, like it just kind of goes over my head." Like, well, yeah, like that happens sometimes. Sometimes you're going to read your Bible and there's just going to be no immediate fruit from it. Like, just being totally honest, like you're going to read your Bible and you're going to go, I find myself sometimes going, "What did I just read?" Mm. And then I have to go back and read it again. And then sometimes I'm like, "Okay, well, I don't have time to read it again and I got to go on my way." And then something will happen days later that just makes the connection. Sometimes that doesn't happen, but sometimes it'll make that connection, and I'll see the fruit later on. But it's not, I don't know, we so deeply want that like immediate in the moment fruit that we're just, it reveals what it reveals, and I'm just saying this out of experience, so I'm not trying to condemn anyone else, but for me it reveals a lack of patience on my part, right? Just like a lack of patience and a lack of trust. And that hurts to say. It hurts to say that, like, I lack trust in God and I lack patience in God when He is truly the one that is working things all together in perfect time, and He is the one that is that produces the actual transformation that I want.
That is hard, but I think it's accurate for a lot of us. It's, I'm not getting the immediate result that I really thought I would. Therefore, this must not be working. And, you know, I trust that there are people too who've had kind of the inverse, where they try one of these practices, they engage in it, and they're just shocked by, oh my word, I just encountered the living God.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I didn't expect that to happen by not eating food for the day, you know, or with this one that Robbie just preached on with solitude, where we abstain from really relating to other people. And I think now, especially, it's a very radical practice because of our connection, all the asynchronous, right, communication that we can do, where we send a message and then we wait and send another one back and forth. I think that especially is radical, where we turn off the devices and just silence that part, and that solitude comes from that space comes from it. He used the phrase, solitude requires a joyful missing out. Like, we joyfully miss out on the things that are going on around us, but there's worth it. It's a joyful missing out in exchange for more of Jesus. So you're like abstaining from, you know, being in the know in that instant, because we are very used to that instant. We know what's going on with people. Yeah. And we just say, I'm okay with that because I want Jesus. I want to be with Him. So I'm going to turn off. It's like the flow. I'm turning off the faucet of the input. And it, again, we're not even saying that the input itself is bad.
Right.
Being in connection with people and doing life is great. It's just that we need kind of the both the inhale and the exhale, right? So this solitude makes room then for engagement with people in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. I something that really resonated with me that Robbie said, and I think it's so true, is that every no is a yes to something else, and every yes is a no to something else. So we like to look at it just purely in the terms of like missing out on something sometimes is the wrong perspective to have. Like, we have to look at it from the perspective of, if I'm saying no to this specific thing, what is the other yes that I'm saying to? And, you know, again, it just kind of goes back to the, when you're able to say that, then when you're able to go, okay, when I say no to this, and when I say yes to this, what is it communicating inside of what my actual desire, like what, where my heart actually is? And that'll even, you know, bring up even more. We oftentimes use the fruit to root. When you reveal that fruit, you start to then see kind of what is rooted inside of where, what do I actually desire? What do I actually feel? What do I actually, you know, think about my relationship with God and with others, and what I actually think about that?
Yeah, that's really good. I like that, fruit to root. That's a helpful phrase.
Oh man, maybe we stopped using that when you came into the office. We used to say that all the time back here in the office. That was, yeah.
I don't think I've heard it before, but I think it's true. I mean, Jesus said you will know them by their fruit.
And right.
The fruit that comes out in our life reveals the state of our heart. It really does. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, it's funny when, like, I'm talking about being impatient about something and I'm trying to rush it along, the root of that is I don't trust God.
Yes.
And it hurts to say that. It stings to say that. I don't want to be somebody who's known as that has a lack of trust in God. But like, if I'm being I have to be able to be honest to be able to actually tackle that issue, you know?
Oh my. Well, doesn't this, it helps us to see ourselves. I mean, that's part of, I think, the fruit of this is connection with Jesus. And as we connect with Jesus, there's something about that that allows us to see ourselves. I think it's the grace from Him, really. It allows us to see what's really going on. Because to me, that's part of why this holistic, below-the-surface transformation is so important, because so many of the actions we carry out, like Robbie had a great illustration on Sunday of like driving, you're thinking of checking your blind spot, checking the mirror, all the things that you do automatically, yeah. right? When you yeah. drive, that life is like that. We basically run automatically. We have built in habits and ways of doing things every day that we don't think about. And when you start to think that sin gets into those things, and we're just automatically doing things that are just not Christ-like, right? Mm-hmm. They don't bring life to us or other people. It's painful to realize that. It's painful to see it. But these practices by God's Spirit are ways that we can see that clearly. Like, wow, why do I have such a hard time not telling everyone the good thing I just did? Like wrestling with that when we try to practice secrecy, or why do I have such a hard time putting my phone down for a half hour?
Right.
Wrestling with that reveals, you know, like you were just describing, this root of dependence upon really short-term fixes for needs that we have that only Jesus can meet in his sufficiency, his all-sufficiency as our vine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, Jeff, like it's funny, before we hit the record button, we had kind of mapped out how we were going to talk about this. And I feel like we've done it in the opposite way. So
yeah,
we were going to talk about solitude because I mean, that's what Robbie mm-hmm. preached on. What is, so solitude, let's have just a conversation about then solitude and what that looks like and why maybe sometimes, so let's talk about what it looks like. And then let's talk about maybe why sometimes we don't believe that it's beneficial for us. So like, what does solitude look like for you?
I think of it in terms of like daily, weekly, and then occasionally.
Okay.
So like occasionally for me, I try to have like some sort of, you know, day long or half a day of solitude where I'm really intentional, right? I might go out into the woods with my Bible prayer. Robbie described that on Sunday. And I found for me that is a very good practice. It's not something I do every week. I just can't build it into my life every week. It just doesn't work. And you may even hear that example, those of you listening right now, and you might think, there's no way I can get a half day away right now.
Right.
My life and the seasons of my life don't allow for that. And my encouragement to you would be, that's okay right now. Like, you might be in a place where it just really is not feasible for whatever reason. And God knows that. So I'm not at all saying that everyone needs to do that. But for me, that's been helpful. And then more on like a weekly basis, trying to get, even if it's 20 minutes, half hour, where I'm trying to just, I think again, for me, it's silencing the devices. And usually, I mean, Robbie did a great job of preaching silence and solitude separately. And I know those things are hard to separate because they actually do seem to go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But that does involve for me silence as well. So I turn off the devices. I try to get alone where I'm not near other people. And it could be in a bedroom with the door closed. It could be in my office with the door closed. It might even be a walk. Like, I really do experience solitude by walking around. I find that my mind can engage with God sometimes better when I'm moving. There are times when I do need the stillness of just sitting, but often walks can be helpful. So for me, that's what it looks like. It's not usually, you know, this grand 2 to 3 hour experience where I walk out and I feel like I'm glowing, you know, afterwards.
Right.
It's not like that. It's simple times. And it might even sometimes be, I just choose in my car to not turn the radio on or listen to anything. I just keep the car silent. And in those moments, you can actually experience solitude.
Yeah, for sure.
How about you? What does it look like for you?
I'll be totally honest. I felt pretty convicted because I don't think I practice solitude enough. When Robbie was describing pretty early on the person who kind of digests content all the time, I'm like, oh man, that is totally me. And so I experience, like, I would love to get onto, and I think the challenge for me is going to be getting into a daily, weekly, occasional type rhythm, and I want to. So I was really challenged by that. I sometimes do daily, and weekly. Where I was challenged the most is I already have like a daily rhythm baked in to like my day that I go for a walk every day. That's just like one of my things. I love going for walks, and typically I'm listening to something. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to music. I'm listening to, that's it. I have a long list of podcasts that I listen through. And he said it was really what challenged me is how oftentimes I will sit, I will listen, I will digest a podcast, I'll listen to it in the moment, and then it'll have no bearing on my life after that moment. It is in one ear, out the other. And we were sitting in our gospel community, and it felt like that was a pretty common experience of just what it actually is white noise. Hmm. And so I felt challenged by that I need to practice it more often. And here's the funny part is that I have times frequently where my headphones will die. So I have like Bluetooth headphones because we live in a day and age where my phone, where I get all my podcasts, they have to change the input on it. And so I can't use my headphones without an adapter, and then I lose the adapter. And so after buying like 5 different adapters, I was like, whatever, I'm just going to get Bluetooth headphones. That's what everyone does, right? The Bluetooth headphones. The problem with that is your Bluetooth headphones need to be charged in order to use them. And so I will have some mornings where my Bluetooth headphones are dead. And so I'll wake up early. I'm in the pro. So I go to the gym 5 days a week, and then 2 days a week that I don't go to the gym, I still wake up early and I go for walks. And I'll go for a little bit of an extended walk. And the last couple of times I've gone for a walk, my headphones have been dead. And it's funny how mad I am in the moment. I'm just like, oh, my headphones. And I will like, do I even want to go for a walk? Like, why should I even go for, as if like the headphones are the reason that I'm going for a walk. And then what happens is this happens almost every single time that I do this. It's about a 3-mile walk that I do. Takes me about 45, 50 minutes. Is that for the first 10 minutes of that walk with silence, just me and my thoughts, my mind will race all over the place for the first 10 minutes. I will like try to focus in on something, and my mind will be like a pinball machine. I think anyone who's younger listening might not know what that get the reference, but it'll be like a pinball machine, ding 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 ding, and then all of a sudden, like at the 10-minute mark, it will feel like God is just like focusing me in, and all of a sudden I'm just having this. I don't know. It's just I feel focused in. I begin to have prayer with God, and I'm able to just have like this conversation with him. And so I'm challenged to do that more frequently. I still love, like, I still think podcasts are great. I'm still keep listening to podcasts, but it's got to be under the, is it actually bearing fruit, or is it just one of the podcasts that goes in one ear, out the other? Is it one of those that isn't producing fruit? You know, eventually that's the question. That's what it kind of boils down to. So I was challenged by that. I need to do it more frequently. And I think the part that challenges me whenever I do get times of solitude is that there always is that initial, like, it feels like nails on a chalkboard to me, and I have to fight against that. And I think that's just kind of revealing something, you know, inside of me with that.
I have a similar experience with the kind of ping-ponging, you know, like it's more like a snow globe for me. You know, you shake the snow globe and the snowflakes are flying. Like, my thoughts are like that.
Okay. Yeah.
For the first few minutes, and maybe even longer than the first few minutes, depending on what's going on in my life. But I find that that's why I need to do it. That reveals not the reason I shouldn't have solitude, but the reason I really need it, so that I can turn off all the input. I mean, we just, especially now, we have to be much more radical and intentional about getting space where we don't have input. Like you just described it, right? With our phones, with tablets, with computers, we have it constantly. Mm-hmm. And so much of it is not actually, I mean, the podcast can be really good, right? But so much is actually geared towards getting us to buy something or consume, you know, we're consumers, quote unquote. And man, that just changes us. It forms us as we experience that and those habits around it. You know, one thing I just wanted to circle back for a minute. If you're listening and you feel like you'd like to try the half a day or full day sort of solitude, that could be a strange thing if you haven't tried it before. Like, how would you do it? And I was taught how to do it through a little booklet called How to Spend a Day in Prayer. And if you're interested in that, you could shoot me an email. I'd be happy to send that to you. But it just outlined for me, what would you do with yourself for that amount of time, for 4 to 8 hours? What would you do? To me, it was very helpful to have a bit of a guide, like try praying these prayers and read these psalms and slow down. It really was helpful. So if that's something that you're thinking right now as you hear this, I want to try that. I have the space in my life to do it. I'll do it. Please email me. I'd be happy to send that over to you.
That's great. I would potentially love a copy of that. You bet. So, and you said something that just kind of like triggered another thing in my brain is that you were saying how oftentimes those podcasts, those things that we consume, are trying to sell you something. But I think one of the other things I was challenged by, and I said I had a quote from a book that I was reading that, and it'll tie into this, is that for me, I feel like I am very informationally driven. And so I sometimes approach the reason why I choose other things over solitude with God is because in my mind, I think that if I know the right things and I have the right information and I apply it the right way, that things are going to go right. Like that's just kind of how my brain works. I think we approach church that way sometimes, right? Like when sometimes when you ask somebody about, church on Sunday morning and they go, well, I learned this. And it's like, well, what did that stir up in you? Well, that I learned this. It's like, okay, but it's the Sunday morning sermon, what we do on, not just the sermon, but worship and all of that. Sunday morning worship isn't meant to be just a list of facts and information. It's meant to be worship of God. It's supposed to be this like encounter, communal encounter with God, right? And so I was so struck by the fact that I think for myself, and this is just Christoph being confessional about where he struggles with solitude with God, is that I value information sometimes over that experience. And I think we do that with our faith. And so I was challenged. It was cool because I'm reading this book right now, and I read this last week, and I highlighted this specific section that I think, I don't know, I'll just read it, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So,
all right, let's do it.
So it's from Herman Bavinck, who was a Dutch theologian from the late 1800s, and he said this: the prophets and apostles and the saints generally who appear before us in the Old and New Testament and later in the Church of Christ did not sit and philosophize about God and abstract concepts, but rather confessed what God meant to them and what they owed to him in all the circumstances of life. God was for them not a cold concept which they proceeded rationally to analyze, but he was a living, personal force, a reality infinitely more real than the world around them. Indeed, he was to them the one eternal, worshipful being.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, God is not a concept. He's not a force like electricity. Like just power that you somehow need to plug into.
Mm-hmm.
Personal. And yeah,
that's relational. And
yes, that's a great quote.
It's great to get to know God. It reminds me of J.I. Packer, and Knowing God gave the example of, it is great to know your wife, but if you don't know her favorite color, when her birthday is, what her favorite things are, like, then do you really know your wife? Like, you don't. And it's the same with God. Like, if you just know a bunch of that information, if you know when your wife's birthday is, but it comes and goes and you don't celebrate it, like, there's something wrong with that, right? There's something broken there. The same way with God. If you know all of this information, but it doesn't like stir us up, if we don't have this relational experience with God, I don't know. That's what struck me. And that's what I think I'm taking away and trying to process and think through. Okay, how then do I say yes to solitude with God more? And how do I remind myself that the things that I'm saying no to are of infinitely less value than saying yes to time with God?
I think that vision you just, from that quote too, it helps me. I mean, one of the reasons that I practice any of these things at all is my own desperate need for God. It's like, I cannot function without him. I won't be okay. I won't make it. And it's out of the, I mean, most of the practices that have been the most meaningful for me are ones that I've discovered in the midst of great need, of feeling stretched beyond my limit and desperate for him. And to me, that's what keeps me coming back to the practice that, and it's really not the practice, it's God that I'm coming back to, but it's experiencing him through the practice, through the engagement. Whatever it is, like we didn't even talk about in this series the spiritual practices of engagement that are the positive side. So we kind of talked about the withholding side, but these practices that we're talking, the abstinent ones, make room for practices of engagement, which would be fun to cover in more, at more length another time. But to me, that's the key, the vision of encountering God and this holistic, deep transformation that he has in store for us, that actually will bring life to us. It will bring joy, and joy, a pervasive sense of well-being, right? This, like, everything is okay. Even when life is difficult, when life is full of suffering, we can have that joy, not just theoretically. It actually is something we can experience and embody that comes from God. It comes from an encounter with God, relational connection. Yeah, thanks for that quote. I was really curious. Christoph mentioned to me before we started recording that he had a quote that he wasn't going to share with me, and until the podcast. And
I make you listen to it.
And I like it. I think that that's a key thing, especially if your wiring is towards knowledge. If your bent is towards knowing, like intellectually, that's such a helpful, you know, reminder that this is not all about just getting the facts right. It's yes. really about relationship with the living God.
Yeah.
And the plot for which he is redeeming the world right now, right? It's in process, and we're part of the story right now. We're all part of it.
Yes. I think that's a good place to put a bookmark on that one. That's good. It's been an awesome series. It's been cool to be able to sit down and do the podcast with you to end it.
Yeah, you too, Christoph. It's been great.
So we have Easter. So if you're listening to this, I think the podcast will probably be up the same day we're recording it, which is Wednesday. We have Easter weekend coming up this weekend. We have a Good Friday service, and I was just trying to find what time. I know it's either 6:30. Is it 6:30?
Yes.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was 6 or 6:30. I should probably know that because I'm supposed to do scripture reading for it. But yeah. I mean, I'll just guess the earlier time, right?
Well, if you guess earlier, you're safe.
Yeah. So if you're hearing this before, we'd love for you to join us for a Good Friday service at 6:30 or Easter service at our two normal times at 8:15 a.m. and 10:30. You were throwing me off, by the way, Sunday morning this past week by saying, we start at 8 o'clock, not 8:15. Like, what?
Well, it shouldn't be that we start 15 minutes late. I think that's what it is in my head. I'm just used to the first service being on the hour, right? Yeah, and I cannot get used to it.
Well, you were throwing me off too.
Oh my word, I was throwing myself off. But again, at least I was thinking it was earlier than it was.
That's true. That's true. So if you don't have a home church, or we'd love for you to join us for Easter, mm-hmm. either Good Friday or for the Easter service. If you have any questions, you can email them to Jay or Robbie. We don't want them. I'm just kidding. any questions to be answered on the podcast? I should say it that way. If you want questions to be answered on the podcast, because Jeff and I normally aren't on the podcast, you can send them over to Jay or Robbie, and you can find the contact information on our website, faithpesh2go.com. Jeff, do you have anything, any final things to say?
No. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening, and I hope that this week of anticipating, really, and remembering the cross and then the resurrection has been full of the presence of Christ for you.